BFM with Kenwood Trust Drug and Alcohol Treatment and Rehabilitation Programs.
You're on KMFM Wednesday night, and all of this week we're talking alcohol and drugs with Kenwood Trust. Andy has shared his story. We've heard how his son was born addicted to heroin and was then taken away by social services, how his partner Karen died of a drug overdose, and how drugs had become the most important thing in his life.
I was in prison. I got released from prison. I got back into taking drugs and crazy things, and I found myself at the bottom of the escalators again, begging for my money. But there was a lady who used to come all the time, and she used to come to me, and she used to come with a ham sandwich, cup of tea, and she used to sit down next to me, and she would say to things like me, "Andy, it ain't got to be like this. You haven't got to be living life like this. Something can change." And some days I'd tell her to get on her bike. Some days I would let down my guard and I would say yeah to her, come on, yeah, okay then. Well, she eventually got me into a detox unit. Yeah, and I've been in detoxes and treatment places and all sorts of things before, but this time I was really in a position of complete addict. I had nowhere to live, and I went into this hospital. I didn't really know where I was and that, and they started to take me off of all these drink and drugs and everything like that. And I cleaned up. And then what happened is, over a period of time, they kept trying to find me to be able to go somewhere. And they'd ring round hostels and all that, and they would say, "We're not having him here. Last time he was here, he threw the chair through the window. Last time he here, he's tried to smuggle some gal in." Not because of any other reason other than just the chaotic of what was going on for me. So they couldn't find anyone. Someone come and did a 1 hour bank shift in that hospital. And I spoke to them a little bit about my background. I spoke to them about Kenwood, because I'd been in Kenwood at one time on my journey. And it was somebody who had worked for Kenwood. And I spoke to them, and they said, "I might know somebody who might be able to take you in, maybe able to help you." And what happened, the next day, this bloke came up. He was about 23 years of age. He drove up to the hospital. His name was John. He came up to the hospital and he said, "You can live in my house. You can come and live in my house." So when someone says that, "You can come and live in my house," I think, "Oh yeah, I'm going to come and live in your house." Excellent, because I had nowhere else to go. It was the pavement for me. He drove me back to his house. It was an inner city estate. I've got back there. I knew there was prostitution, drug dealing and all that going on all around the area. I knew what the area was all about. But for me, something had gone on. Something was going on for me. And I've turned up there. I've met his wife called Tamsin. They've taken me in there into their kind of like living room. I've seen the DVD player. Saw the telly, saw some other things in the room. I thought, "I'm going to chore that. I'm just going to steal it." It was quite late by this time. They took me up to a little box room upstairs. I went in the box room. It had like a white duvet on the bed. I was already quite tidy from the hospital, but it was my own little stuff. And I can remember I sat down on the bed and I laid down on that duvet and I fell asleep. And I can tell you that's the best time of sleep that I've had for ages. It was like I'd come to a place, it's making me all shiver now. Because what I'm talking to you about is reality. And at that moment, when I laid down on that bed, everything sort of like just felt like I was in cotton wool, comfortable. And I laid there, I fell asleep. I had the best night's sleep that I could have. And I got up in the morning and I come back down the stairs. And John and Tamsin were sitting around their little table in the kitchen, and they had their shreddy wheat and their milk and all that kind of thing on the table. And John said to me, "Come and sit down." And I sat down and they poured out the milk on the shreddy wheat, and I sat there like that. And John said to me, he said, open your hands up." And I opened my hands up like that. He put a set of front door keys right to his house, to his car, to everything he owned in my hand. When he did that, I snapped. Everything about me just broke instantly. And do you know what, right? That was years and years ago. But something actually happened to me. And what it was a demonstration of trust. And in an impact of trust, something dramatically changed in my life. Just because somebody showed me a bit of trust, they had a bit of belief that I could achieve something, I could move on, I could achieve like exams. So much stuff happened after that. And I took hold of that and I lived with that couple for 18 months in that house. And like I learned to kind of be in at meal times, start to eat, have a bit of structure to my life. Everything started to happen.
All this week, we are teaming up with Kenwood Trust and we are talking drugs and alcohol. We are going to schools across Kent, taking Andy, who's had a very troubled life story. You can hear more at kmfm.co.uk. And at the end of every session, we ask students if they've got any questions.
What was being in prison like with addiction and not being able to satisfy that?
Prison and addiction is not a nice. My experience when I was arrested for doing something wrong, I ended up in the police station and I'd always would get bail. I would think, I'm going to get bail. But what I had done this day, when the prison officer came to me, they took me to interview. I said whatever I said in the interview or not what I said. So I was in the interview. When I came out of there, they put me back in my cell. He came round, opened the flap up and he said to me, today you're not being released. You're going in front of the court. At that moment, I was starting to detox. I was starting to withdraw, should I say, and I was starting to come off. And when you withdraw, it feels like there's something running inside of your veins. You start to vomit, you get diarrhea, you start to sweat, you keep awake all the time. You feel like you've got stomach cramp. And the only way I can explain it, it's like someone's got a belt and they're tightening that belt around your stomach and it feels really uncomfortable to breathe and to all that. That goes on for about 4 or 5 days. So when I was on that prison bus going to prison, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what was happening. I was feeling sick and horrible and all that. I saw a nurse that night where she gave me 2 little pills, but I didn't get lots of support that night. And withdrawing in prison, not knowing where you are, the sounds of prison, the smell of prison, the people shouting out the windows. When the prison door opens up and you come out and you go downstairs to get your food from the servery, when you're feeling unwell, it's like having a heavy flu. When you come down the stairs, you're vulnerable. You feel weak and all that. There's all people pushing about and all that. You feel very frightened. It's a very intimidating place because, you know when you don't feel very well, you feel a bit weak, don't you? You don't feel as strong. You don't want to be in a group of people where really everything's all about being tough and big. You feel uncomfortable. You go down to the servery, you smell the food. You have to go through the servery because you have to be ticked off. That's how they check that you've actually eaten or you've come to the servery. So when you go down, you have to go through it. When you smell that food on that first time, it makes you feel really, really bad. You go back upstairs and then they just slam the door shut again on you. Then the healthcare come and you get to see a doctor and the doctor will prescribe something which will help you start to come off of that process. That doesn't always happen. Some prisons have different policies. Some prisons give you different form of medication. Some prisons do it in lots of different ways. So sometimes you are left to go through that process. It takes about 14 to 21 days to start to feel a little bit back to what we call normal self. Because what you've been doing, you've been taking a substance, what caps that endorphin, so you're very flat. Plus you're also waiting to be sentenced with whatever you've done.
You can find out more information at thinkdifferentlykent.co.uk and tune in tomorrow after 9 p.m. for the final part of Andy's story.